madness from around the world.
That is absurd.
These are Mad Radio's Mad Takes on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
So it appears that In-N-Out Burger is coming to Houston. There is going to be one in Stafford that is going to be set to open. I'm not exactly sure when.
Didn't they announce this like 3 years ago? It seems like forever we've been hearing about In-N-Out Burger coming.
I know. I made sure to like verify this, go to different sources, legitimate websites, and it's going to be part of, it's basically going to be a small piece of a giant new development that is under construction. The former Texas Instruments campus in Stafford is getting a big makeover, and In-N-Out Burger. Here's my take on burgers. I think people are, I don't know what the word is for it. I think people are too, like, they divide too much. Like, I like all these places. I like Fuddruckers, I like Whataburger, I like In-N-Out Burger. For me, it really depends on what kind of burger I'm feeling at the moment.
Burgers need to be a unifying force between you and, between humans. It's not a unifying force between humans and cows, obviously. It's very divisive. But we need to celebrate the burger because everybody's got a fancy burger now. I'll say this about In-N-Out Burger. The burger's like, there are a lot of different burger places that I like. The fries are pretty impressive, like, because they slice them right in front of you.
Yes.
That part's pretty cool. And then they've got a secret menu, which is kind of annoying, I'm sure, until you learn the secret menu, and then you're like, oh, I'm somehow better than you, and then you buy in wholeheartedly.
That's probably part of their appeal. I think when it comes to the brand loyalty, you guys are 100% right. Most burgers taste the same. I've been to Fuddruckers. I love Fuddruckers. Been to Five Guys. I love Five Guys. If I'm going to go get a burger, I'm going to go to one of those places. I'm not going to go to In-N-Out. I'm not going to go to Whataburger. Whataburger, people I know have a big loyalty to it because, of course, it's a Texas place. Whataburger has a much better menu than In-N-Out. In-N-Out versus Whataburger, I'd say the burger's slightly better at In-N-Out. I'm stuttering when I say it. But, like, it's not enough of a difference for me to drive all the way out to Stafford to get it.
I'm going
to
say this, though, that Fuddruckers is unique and has remained unique over like 20 or 30 years compared to a lot of other burger places. One is just like the gigantic portions you can get, the gigantic size, but then just like the whole concept of it being more like a burger bar type of place. Like that's like with the Fixin's bar and all that.
Yes.
I still hold them in a separate spot from most, even of like these modern gourmet burger type places. So there you have it.
I agree with you on that.
This is madness.
So, first off, I want to get depressed. Here's a really quick stat before we
of
get into
I want to get
some stuff from Monday Night Football last night. The Ravens have 12 touchdowns on 12 red zone trips this season. Yes, that's right.
Impossible.
The Joe Flacco-led Baltimore Ravens have 12 touchdowns in 12 red zone trips.
Landry was upset, not upset emotionally, but he was critical of O'Brien's answer to his own question on Sunday when Landry followed up some of O'Brien's comments about play calling by saying, hey, you say the play calling needs to change, like, how so? And he was basically like, we got to call better plays. Here's the deal. The coach is not going to give you the honest answer. I'm going to tell you what the honest answer is. The Texans need to be less predictable and far less predictable on first down. They need to mix it up, they need to move the pocket, and they need to throw more on first down in the red zone and get rid of the penalties. That's what the real answer is.
Yeah, they need to find a way to stop finding themselves in a second and nine, second and eight, or a second and 15, which has been happening a whole lot.
Now, to be fair, Pat D. Stat did have some screenshots where it looked like on the first drive of the game, third and goal when they passed, when he had that pass to Fuller that was a little out of bounds.
Griffin was open right underneath.
Griffin was
right,
open. Yeah. Vincent Smith looked like he could have been open on a slant.
Yeah.
Could have been.
The one thing that I have sometimes in second guessing plays like that, you always have to remember about two things. One, view from field level, because on that play, Martinez Rankin was getting jammed back into Deshaun's face, so the throwing lane may not have simply been there to Ryan Griffin. Two is that, look, if you like your first read, you take your first read. Hey, first read's a touchdown to DeAndre Hopkins. I'm throwing it. And nothing drives me crazier than when somebody takes a screenshot of something. Nah, I'm not talking about this. This was valid for Pat D. Stat to do this analysis. There's other people sometimes where they'll be like, look, he's throwing it here when this guy over on the other side of the field is completely open. That was his fourth read, and somebody made a mental error over there. That's not where he's going with the ball. So I'm not gonna overly think that one.
So the Ravens have the magic elixir.
They do, in the red zone. I don't know what it is, but they have it. Also, on Monday Night Football, Jason Witten was the latest to weigh in on the unnecessary roughness, roughing the passer calls that have been plaguing the NFL this season, and he brought politics into it.
It's just gone too far with that rule, you know. It's just, I felt that I knew they wanted to make it about the health and safety and protect these quarterbacks. It just seems like we just went a little bit to the left wing on that, you know, with our approach of trying to protect it. Because, as we said, not only the players frustrated, but the coaches. They don't know how to coach this, and that's when you have a challenge with this rule.
The first time Jason Witten does anything of note as a color commentator, he's bringing politics back to ESPN.
ESPN tried to say that it's not political, which is generally, like, it's not political in that, like, it's not like he blamed Obama for it or anything. But
Bernie Sanders.
You're saying you're using a political analogy. The interesting thing is that I could argue both sides for this. Because for one, I would say, like, okay, in general, like, okay, on the right is more conservatism, which is keeping things as they are. Left is more liberal, which is advocating change and progress. What have you. So this is certainly change. So I think if you were going to make the analogy, then that would be the appropriate one. But then he delves into coaching of the rules, and he's saying coaches aren't doing a good job of coaching of the rules. Well, then that feels a little bit more to me like saying they're not being conservative enough in teaching people to abide by the rules. So I think an appropriate political analogy there, even if you assume that he's coming from it kind of from a right-wing perspective. In another bygone era, we might not get so huffy about stuff like this. He's talking about the liberal or progressive movement within football.
And I think liberals and conservatives that are not Dallas Cowboys fans can agree that Jason Witten sucks and that Booger McFarland should be doing that job.
I think Booger's pretty good.
Do you really?
I like Booger.
Well, maybe it's by comparison with Witten, who barely says anything. I think Booger McFarland, especially given that it's his first year and he's not even in the freaking broadcast booth,
yeah.
I think he's actually done a fairly nice job.
He's got a weird sideline contraption.
I'm going to have to weigh in his gaming console. I have to listen more closely again because it feels like he speaks in platitudes a lot. Like, oh, yeah, you gotta get pressure on the passer.
I'll take speaking in platitudes over just saying, hi, I'm Jason Witten here for the Dallas Cowboys.
I was disappointed in Rondae Barber. For the Texans game.
Were you?
Just kind of a herky-jerky style of speaking and not bringing as much to the table as I think Tiki would. Tiki is the better of those two twins.
We're never going to get Romo again at this rate. That's the other sad part. We're never going to get Romo again. We're at this 0-3 rate. We are never going to get Romo. Damn it. Until next year.
This is madness.
So Everson Griffin, who's a very good defensive lineman for the Minnesota Vikings, he was going to miss last week's game anyway because he has a knee issue. But there was also this drama on Saturday, the day before his team got trounced by the Buffalo Bills. According to Fox 9 law enforcement officials, Minneapolis police were called to the Hotel Ivy on Saturday on a report of threats being made by a guest. When they arrived, hotel personnel said Everson Griffin was making vague threats about, quote, shooting the place up, unquote. No weapon was ever shown or implied. Griffin agreed to leave the hotel. According to police records, a person was verbally threatening to shoot someone in the middle of the day on Saturday. The police department redacted that person's name from the report, but it turns out it was indeed Everson Griffin.
It's hard for me to read these stories and not instantly think about the impact of football on the guy's body and, well, really his brain. And what might be going on in his brain. That's where I instantly go to.
Yeah, people threaten to shoot places up before CTE or without CTE as well. I know. I guess the big notable one is Aaron Hernandez, who, according to the one research group, said that he had the most advanced case of CTE anybody had ever seen. You know, well, you know where my standard is with all the CTE stuff. It's like, I need to see more brains from, like, the population at large. I have no idea exactly how much of this, you know, like, are you going to excuse away bad behavior because of the presence of tau protein in the brain? I don't know. I think, given that Everson Griffin has been a solid and steady player, and as far as I know, a good player. I think this is just a random, like, if he didn't have a weapon and he said he's going to shoot the place up, how do you feel about that? I feel like as long as he wasn't directing it towards a woman, and he was like having, like, if he was having a gambling dispute and just saying, like, in Friday, I want to shoot this place, I want to shoot the whole place up, bygones, boys will be boys on About Your Merry Way.
Maybe we should make a different statement. We should condition people to say, I'm going to take a dump here, or I'm going to pee all over everything, or something like that. Something where you actually physically can do it that doesn't involve a weapon.
Yeah, perhaps without actually brandishing the weapon, I feel a little bit better about it.
Yeah.
Imagine if we're doing it.
I'd like to brandish the weapon, but say, I'm going to crap all over
this
place. Like, I'm going to do it while I'm brandishing. I'm going to wave the gun in the air while I'm squatted down in your lobby.
You're standing your ground.
How about that? I guess it's Everson Griffin squatted down in the lobby with the gun, but only to keep people away while he's pooping on the tile floor.
Must have marked that territory.
Is that an appropriate use of a weapon in that situation?
What hotel was this? The Hotel Ivy. That sounds like a fancy hotel, too.
Seems like it would be a nice place.
You feel like down at the Days Inn, it's once a week where they're like, ah, great, we got another guy threatening to shoot up the place. The Hotel Ivy, it only happens once every fortnight or so.